Okay, have we told the others that we've moved the podcast?
No, I haven't.
No.
Well, so we need to inform Steve, because certainly we don't want Crumbly. No. I mean, he Crumbly pointed out that person to me, and I can't remember what it said, but it scared me, and it's connected with Crumbly. And I also think Fake Keith was another one that spoke to me, and I had to run away, and so was Steve.
I haven't seen them for ages, either of them.
Well, you've got one right,
oh, yeah.
Right
oh.
over there.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And 60, 70-odd metres away.
And another one right over there.
Oh, yeah, a similar distance, but...
And a third one all the way down there.
What are they doing? They're making weird gestures.
Yeah.
No, that's rude gestures. Oh, you know what Crumbly's like.
Yeah.
I'm not sure I want to go any closer.
No way.
I suppose it's just the three of us then again.
Works for me.
Yeah, okay, my God.
Welcome to Staggering Stories podcast number 447.
Ooh, three more to 450.
I'm Jean.
I'm Adam.
And I am still merely Keith.
Yes, we're on the night shift crew still, yep. Unfortunately. Yep.
We're limping along.
We've all abandoned us.
Yeah.
The blighters.
Perhaps I should change my aftershave.
So, on that basis... Without further ado, it's the news with El Presidente.
Woohoo!
This is the BBC! Do not listen to the others! They are the false prophets!
Doctor Who!
Oh, yeah.
Ooh.
Eccleston swanning off again.
He does that.
Yeah, yeah.
Audiomongers Biff Finish have recently released their latest Ninth Doctor box set, and it now turns out that it will be the last. For now, at least. Big Finish have released the following, presumably authorised statement from Christopher Eccleston. The Big Finish experience has, to date, been enjoyable, and has afforded me the chance to revisit a character I was able to bring to life almost 20 years ago.
Yeah.
For now, it's time for me to return to the TARDIS and disappear for a while. But as we know, the world of Doctor Who is unpredictable. So this is not a goodbye, but an au revoir. A little over 19 years ago, Eccleston left the role after one series on TV. That was exacerbated by the false quote and reasoning attributed to him by the BBC press office, or perhaps the Doctor Who producers at the time. Fortunately, this time he appears to have left the role on rather better terms. Available from Big Finish is Doctor Who, The Ninth Doctor Adventures, Star-Crossed! Which features three stories, all with the Ninth Doctor and River Song.
Oh, I hope it's not the last.
Yeah, I'm sure not. He's done a lot.
They have condensed him, so you can understand sort of wanting a break to walk away.
Mm.
And another thing, it's you don't know what he's got lined up.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how much Big Finish pays,
but I
am sure a professional film job will pay a lot more.
Oh, yeah. It's just pocket money, really. And
yeah.
Just a chance to have a bit of fun.
For the others, it's an option to top up their retirement fund.
Exactly, yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Keep working, at least somewhat.
Yeah.
Which, you know, let's face it, Tom Baker wouldn't be.
Yeah.
If it weren't for Big Finish, he'd be entirely retired at this point.
Yeah, he wouldn't be doing anything.
He could be doing a stage show.
He did Ebenezer Scrooge.
Did he?
Yeah. I remember seeing within the last year, probably around Christmas time, him rehearsing and advertising Christmas Carol.
Yeah. Maybe he's got another big series in the US, something like that,
or something
for Netflix. He keeps fairly busy.
Yeah. I mean, he is still a jobbing actor.
Yeah.
So watch this space. Given the choice, I would go for a full cast Big Finish than a talking book. Simply because 9 times out of 10, an actor reading a talking book just reads the book in a
some are better than others.
Some of them are better than others if you get a bad one.
Yeah, even a two-hander audio play is generally better than an audio book.
Yeah.
As we found with Jake on Lightfoot, for example, they did that first two-hander. That was amazing.
Yes, they did the first two-hander in character, which elevated it a hell of a lot.
Yeah, yeah. That's one thing I like. I actually quite like it when the actor is playing the part. God bless their cotton socks on what they've done with some of them where the actors are no longer with us. But I do prefer it when it's the actual actor rather than an impersonation.
I can slum it with an impersonation.
Okay,
but yeah. I'd much rather go the full cast audio play than a talking book. I mean, the best one I think I've heard was In the Bleak Midwinter, which was an audio book.
Yep.
It was meant to be an 11th Doctor, Amy and Rory.
He
couldn't do any of the voices. He didn't attempt to do any of the voices, but did do different voices. Mm. He did his version of the Doctor.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it was good.
You have to do, really.
Yeah.
Unless you're Don Coleshaw.
There's a few that I've heard is literally just the person reading the words, which I hate. Any road up. Doctor Who. Cinema. Screening!
Ooh.
With the season final of Doctor Who fast approaching, those of us in the UK can now book up to see it at the cinema. Mm. In our time zone, it goes live on the BBC iPlayer at midnight on the 22nd of June, and that is also when it will be screened at the cinema.
Mm.
To make things a little better value, they will first be screening the penultimate episode at about 11 p.m. on Friday the 21st, i.e. an hour before the final. This will mark the first time since Peter Capaldi's proper first episode, Deep Breath, where the Doctor Who was similar cast in UK cinemas. That was August 2014, nearly 10 years ago! That was itself after a massively successful 50th anniversary screening back in November 2013.
Mm. I had a look for my local Cineworld.
Yeah. Yep.
They're not doing it.
Oh, no! Crawley is.
The view is near me, Elton. Mm-hmm. And I was kind of thinking about it, but I'm also sitting there thinking, I'll fall asleep. Nothing to do with the story, to add. It's not that it won't captivate me. Once upon a time, I used to be able to do all-night cinemas. Now it's a warm, dark room and it's a comfortable chair.
Yeah,
I have to say, I'm quite proud, even to my year that I'm in at the moment, I have never fallen asleep at the cinema.
Oh, I
never.
I have nearly once or twice, but then that's probably due more to the plot than anything else. I'll be absolutely knackered, but I'm still toying with the idea.
Correction. I have tried to put my self to sleep, the Moomins and Magic Roundabout, but I couldn't. I couldn't.
Shame.
I'm looking there at Karen and she's going...
Yeah, she could put herself to sleep like that.
Yeah, anywhere, anytime.
Yeah.
She has frequently done in the car going down the motorway in a thunderstorm. And why did you put yourself to sleep? If I'm going to die, I want to die in my sleep.
I don't want to know about it. So I've looked at there and she's gone and I'm trying to desperately... But no, the Moomins are there. They're looking at me.
Well, do we have any addendums?
Yes.
What is your addendum, El Presidente?
I have one here about a certain Jodie Whittaker. And she is returning to the London stage.
Oh, doing what?
She is in The Duchess of Malfi. Ooh. Not a play I'm aware of.
Can't say I recognise it.
I have heard of it, but I can't tell you about it.
John Webster, apparently, is the playwright. And it runs for 11 weeks from this October. And it will be in London at the Trafalgar Theatre.
Oh, I didn't know Trafalgar had a theatre.
No.
Sounds like it's a small, small house.
Yeah, but 11 weeks is quite a run.
That's a long run.
From Saturday, 5th of October, through to Friday, 20th of December, at which time maybe they're pantos, I don't know. It's in Whitehall, near Trafalgar Square, unsurprisingly. Sounds interesting.
Mm.
She's the big name. She's, I think, the only one
recognized
so far.
Yeah.
I think I might try and get a ticket to that.
Yeah. Any other addendums?
I have an addendum.
Oh, yeah.
Star Trek : Prodigy.
Not dead.
Not well. It is being released. Season 2 is being released on Netflix on July 1st.
Oh, okay.
We actually have a date.
Right, yeah, it's been quite a while.
Yeah, season one dropped, I think, around about Christmas, yeah. December last year.
Soon after it was announced it was going to Netflix.
Yeah, I think there was a little bit of a dodgy controversy because it has been released, streamed on other stations illegally.
Yeah, didn't it get accidentally streamed in France?
I think so.
I remember it being dropped quite a long time ago.
Yeah.
Early by accident.
On July the 1st, hopefully it will have good response and good watch ratings.
Well, yeah.
This is Netflix, by the way, so
would Netflix be willing to pay enough for another season?
Well,
I don't know. I
do find it slightly ironic considering the original Discovery debacle with Netflix.
Yeah, you're amazed they even want to deal with Paramount.
Yeah.
They've been given a pretty good deal, I think.
Yeah. We'll have to see what happens. Watch this space.
Yeah, it was withdrawn within about a week's notice of it. Was it season 3 or 4?
Well, yeah, they gave a release date for season 3, I think it was.
I think it was 3.
Release date for season 3, and then it was whipped out of Netflix.
Yeah, and it's just finished, doesn't it?
They have just aired the last episode. Mm. Unfortunately, I haven't seen the last 2-3 seasons.
Yeah.
Because it's been only on Paramount, and what with Lower Decks finishing as well. It seems
to be that was a surprise.
Only 5 seasons.
Yeah.
But there again, I hear there is a lot of trouble with Paramount behind the scenes.
Yeah.
As in debt and...
Current scuttlebutt is that Sony are going to buy them.
Yeah.
Whether that's true, I don't know.
Well, well.
What that would mean for Star Trek, I don't know.
Yeah.
Spider-Man crossover. Is that it?
Any more?
I am addendumed out.
Hey.
Thus endeth the news.
And now, the weather.
So, dear listeners, we all decided to watch TV. Some watched it on iPlayer at silly o'clock in the morning. Some watched it a sensible time of day. Some waited for it to actually air. Some watched it on PVR. But basically, one way or the other, we've been watching Doctor Who 73 Yards.
I've got to admit, every episode so far I've watched at silly o'clock.
I've started to watch it in the morning.
Yeah, me too.
With Becky. And then rewatch it when it goes out.
I've yet to rewatch one when it goes out, but yeah, I catch it first thing Saturday morning.
I think because I'm kind of like watching it first of all to like just enjoy it, and then the second time catching all the bits I've missed. So this one seems to cause great confusion.
Yeah, another excellent one for me. I absolutely love Boom, the Moffat one, the week before this. This is another great one. We get on to the one after it next time, in next segment. But yeah, very different, spooky one.
Mm.
My initial reaction, my first reaction after watching it and turning it off was mild disappointment.
Oh, really? Okay.
As in, oh, is that it?
Right.
But... since then, I've got to admit, I don't like rewatching because I like to come to this with my first impressions.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
But since then, I have ruminated and I have cogitated, and my opinion of it has risen.
Oh, good, okay.
It was a first knee-jerk reaction, as is that it's finished. Is that it? There's something.
It does,
isn't something more.
It does leave you having to either piece things together yourself or at least it's deliberately not explaining things.
Yeah.
I think it's a bit of both. This is a timey-wimey one, to use a Doctor Who phrase.
Yep.
I think it's one of those ones where if you want to just take it as it is, you can. If you want to dig digger, there's more there. I don't think that it was necessary certain aspects were meant to be understood. There's all people saying, oh, so she's using British Sign Language. Nah, she wasn't.
No.
It was basically they wanted her to do some hand gestures, so they made up a little routine for her to remember.
Yeah. It's sort of like with Donna and Doctor through the glass. It was a conversation. Yeah. They needed them to do something.
Yeah,
so that's all the hand gestures were.
Yeah, strange hand gestures given what we find out she's saying at the end.
Yeah.
I don't see how they relate, but okay.
We don't actually know what the character was saying.
Right at the end, you have her saying a sentence over and over again. Whether that's what she'd be saying throughout, I don't know.
I don't think it was what she was saying.
But we should quickly say...
Yes, plot synopsis.
Very quick, because I presume you'll be seeing it. But Dr. Ruby, get out of the TARDIS. They're on a cliff top in Wales. Mm-hmm. They're picturesque. The Doctor accidentally stamps, jumps up and down, urinates on.
I think he may have taken a little bit back.
Okay,
anyway.
It wasn't quite that bad. A fairy circle.
He breaks the string of a fairy circle.
Ruby starts reading all the couple of notes on there.
Mad Jack. Missing you.
Yep.
And turns around and the Doctor's gone.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah. They're on a cliff top.
Cliff edge, yeah.
Right. Yep.
Cliffs are made of rock.
Generally.
There are not many bogs on cliffs.
Them.
When he stood on it, the ground
collapsed.
Gives very, yeah. very...
Oh, okay.
It
looked like he was stepping on a cushion.
It did.
Yeah.
So I think as he stepped on it, it actually broke a timeline. Because he does the whole bit about, well, it was very good, and then he mentioned Roger Ap Gwilion, who nearly took the world...
To nuclear war.
Yeah.
Then, when the Doctor's disappeared and Ruby's dealing with everything... It looks like he is going to take the world to nuclear war.
Yeah, possibly.
So it's almost like the timeline got broken. This is how I read it, that the timeline got slightly broken.
So you think maybe perhaps a future Doctor stopped him in the original timeline?
Possibly. No.
Because the Doctor's now gone, he wouldn't have done that, therefore time has changed.
Yeah, ooh, because we've got...
So you think the Doctor vanished?
Because you've got what's-her-face, Kate saying, well, the Doctor's been gone for X amount of years.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're jumping ahead.
Okay, my point of view is completely different from yours, but continue.
Yeah. So anyway, so Ruby's a bit upset, sees this weird old woman underneath the tree making rude hand gestures. Every time she tries to get closer to her, she walks away, so she goes wandering off.
She backs away.
You never see her move. She just is further away.
So off she goes, walking along to find some help. And she comes across a hill walker.
Oh, yes.
A very familiar looking hill
walking
walker.
Walking down the twisty trail.
Yes. A hill walker who looks very much like the actress Sandra Twist.
Susan Twist,
sorry.
What I do like about this is she thinks she recognises her.
Yeah.
Which she could well do because this is after Boom in the ambulance.
Yeah. Who goes and talks to the woman that's distant from her and then goes running off screaming.
Yeah.
Terrified.
We then get our dear Ruby. I keep wanting to call her Rose.
Yeah. A four-letter name, you are.
As you said, Russell T has a type.
She ends up in a Welsh pub.
Yep.
Now, this scene...
They were evil.
...pissed me off.
Oh, really? Why?
Because
the wind-up merchants.
Yeah, she's in this pub, and she's... We know she's only, what, about 16?
19.
So she's still quite a young girl. She's in this pub. She's wet. She's obviously distressed. So... Being nice people, they wind her up to the point where she's terrified.
Yeah.
That really... I totally got no sympathy for those characters at that point. Because
I can understand
them having a joke with it, but you would think one of them would see that there is this young woman who is in distress.
Yeah, but she's an English woman.
No, that's it. It makes the Welsh look really, really bad.
This entire episode
not.
Makes the Welsh look really bad, and it's written by a Welshman.
Yeah, but they're not that bad. That scene really, really, it just jarred so much with me. It was too over the top. It was too cruel, I think is the only word I can say for it.
There is that, and yes, it is their own little community, an outsider coming in. You get more turnies look at this stranger coming in, but more than anything, it's there to heighten the spookiness of it, the telling the tale of how she's being stalked by the harbinger of Mad Jack or whatever. So it adds to the atmosphere, really.
It could have, but I think it could have been done in a slightly better way.
Yeah, I thought it was quite funny.
But that's it. It's quite... You're a sick, twisted bastard, but we all know that. But it just...
How can you pay with your phone?
But yeah, it just
disrespect, but I got flashbacks between me and Sean.
Yeah.
Stoke-on-Trent, you got electricity up here. Oh, that's like... Where's the gas light and the horse and trap?
Yeah.
It never seemed to go off of being harsh. Even as it goes through the scenes and that bloke's talked to the woman and got... The landlady is still very...
Yeah.
Well, to an extent.
I know.
She does let her stay there for a price. She does give her clothes.
She doesn't give her clothes.
She does.
She lends her clothes.
Oh, wait.
To my mind, yes. but there is a reason. You're coming at it from the wrong angle.
Okay, right, possibly. Go on.
It wasn't the Doctor that's disappeared. It is Ruby that has disappeared
into the time loop.
Mm-hmm. Everything that has happened to her speaks to her fundamental fears of abandonment.
Yeah. Interesting.
The best way I can put it through to you of what it reminds me of is Star Trek Next Gen episode Remember Me, where you had Crusher sucked into the spatial time loop aboard the Enterprise and people started disappearing. She is in her own little time loop and time web that is being affected by her fundamental fears of abandonment. That's why everyone rushes away from her.
Yeah.
Even her lifeline of Kate Stewart.
Yeah.
The lifeline is given over and then snatched back because there's abandoned and they just walk away.
That's really interesting.
That's what it seemed to me.
Yeah.
The reason why the Doctor disappears is there is a time loop element here.
Mm-hmm.
We know that time doesn't affect the Doctor in the same way. We've had the third Doctor run around while everyone was frozen and being reversed. We had the fourth Doctor talk his way out of a time loop. Now, whether this is because time doesn't affect the Time Lords the same way, or time doesn't affect the Timeless Child the same way, is beside the point.
Same 11th Doctor during The Lodger.
Yes.
People stuck in a time loop, but he wasn't.
It didn't affect him, so time doesn't affect... So it may have tried to...
He has a special relationship with time.
It may have tried to capture loop him, couldn't, and went on to the next available thing,
maybe,
which was Ruby.
Because really, he's the perpetrator of the crime against the fairy ring, well, although she's the one being punished.
They were both the perpetrator. You can have limits of breaking the ring. Oh, sorry, my bad. I humbly apologise.
Mm-hmm.
It was Ruby who picked up and read everything.
True.
Yeah.
Who may not have done it, but compounded the effect.
Yeah.
Now, whether this is a timeline from the magic circle, or it's the TARDIS burping and something, because we mentioned the perception filter. Nobody else can see the woman unless directly pointed to.
They're sort of aware of her, but not really.
So whether it was the whole result of this is a malfunction from the TARDIS, or is the time loop from the fairy ring, I am not sure. I don't know.
And who created the fairy ring? Obviously, we now have magic and in this world, so it has power that it presumably wouldn't have had before the Toy Maker.
Yeah.
But who created it and why? Probably never know.
Never know. This is what I'm cautious about. Magic has its rules. Magic has its laws that you have to obey, that you have to follow just as hard as science.
Yeah.
I don't like it, and I'm not sure if we can get away with it, but it's just magic. Wave your hands.
Yeah, exactly.
That's where it's beginning, maybe falling down for me. But that, as I said, I sat there and pondered and tried to think through it, and this is the only thing I can think of. It's not the Doctor there, it's Ruby who's in the centre and wrapped up in everything.
That's the first time I have heard anyone come with that perspective, and I think that actually really fits well.
Yeah,
quite good.
That's how it works. That's how I've sorted it in my own little headcanon. That's how it works.
Obviously, Ruby is doing her penance.
Yeah.
By stopping William from becoming PM and launching
this is it.
Duke.
Although she's in the middle of despair and everyone has walked away from her, she's still Ruby. She is still the hero. She will do, when she sees someone in trouble, she will do what she can to get it. And she's been told that the last conversation with the Doctor is the next Prime Minister in 2046.
2046,
And she's around there for it. So.
And then when she does the mission, she still carries on living until the end of her life. But then she appears earlier in the next time round than she did originally.
Yeah.
Which is enough for her to be able to
mentally
give that jump
the time track.
Just as the Doctor was about to step on the fairy ring, Ruby stopped him.
There's lots of what's the woman saying and all the rest of it.
I don't think necessarily it's words.
I don't think it's necessary. I thought it was probably almost like a mental projection of
some
sort.
It's to my mind, it's the fact that Ruby shouldn't be there. She is wrong. You instinctively feel she's wrong on a primeval level.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter what she says.
It doesn't just make you run away, but it also turns you against Ruby.
Yeah.
Which happened with Kate and particularly with Ruby's mother.
Which is, again, down to the abandonment issues.
Yeah.
Really interesting. It makes it a lot more sense of it.
That's how it worked in my head.
Did anyone get a slight feeling of Saxon from yes. president, particularly around yeah. the young lady, yeah. the other yeah. intern. Oh,
yeah. The monster. Yeah.
Marty, yeah.
Who yeah, was, the monster in plain sight,
yeah.
who's
yeah.
sweetness and light on the front, but...
The Albion Party, yes. Well, he's clearly a populist far-right candidate, isn't he?
Britain First.
Yeah, exactly. That sort of thing.
Yeah.
Some new far-right party has come to power in yeah. 2046, which, you know, not too far. It's hard to believe,
unfortunately. Well, I was watching Gallifrey Girls.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
For people out there who don't know, they're reactionists. Reactors. Yeah. They react mostly to Who, Red Dwarf, yeah. Battlestar Galactica, and a few other things.
Yeah, yeah.
They were sitting there, how could people vote for this person? How could they get in? And one turns to the other, yes, how could people vote for someone? So, in 2016, anyone?
But it does raise the question, are we going to see him again?
Yeah.
What Ruby did now didn't happen.
Yeah.
Is the Doctor going to become involved and stop him? Is it just...
His timeline is still going to happen. He's still going to get elected. He's still going to potentially take the country to the edge of nuclear war.
It's not going to be nuclear war, so we know it's going to be sorted. Doesn't necessarily mean the Doctor sorts it. It could be an established part of history.
It could be Kate sorts it and her lot.
Could be, yeah. Well, she'd be going on a bit in 2046.
Well, so unit,
yeah, yeah,
per se. I did like how she used the old woman. The old woman.
Yeah, her talents.
And,
yeah, yeah.
and stepping backwards until...
Measure.
Stop. Okay. Dead on 73 yeah, yard. Yeah. So he actually sees her.
Yeah. So taking her life in her hand because they were ready to shoot.
Mm.
Yeah. But she had a mission. She didn't care.
Yeah, that's it. That's what I mean. She had a mission. She had a point of view. She used the talents that were available. Utilised the units that were available to her.
You wonder how many other times. We only saw it three times where the old woman scared people off.
But yeah.
It did happen other times. Maybe it did. Maybe accidentally.
If she's covered in this perception filter, it depends how many times she's reached out to people and asked, could you have a word with that old lady?
Yeah, because with UNIT, they were specifically after her.
Yeah.
And she says she's positioned her outside, no one's noticed her. But Ruby hasn't deliberately maneuvered her to such a point where she's actually interacting with someone.
Not that we've seen.
So it seems to be that if you don't interact with her or you haven't been positioned there, given that she's Ruby, she knows she's got to interact. This is where it all gets time loop.
Yeah.
She knows she's got to interact with him. So but she's literally right beside him. It's not like he cannot notice her in the street or something.
And they do make a point of him saying he talks to everybody just before that. It's a great superpower to have, actually, this woman at Semper Distance. Because if somebody irritates you, you'd say, go talk to that woman over there. That's it.
That's it, gone. You never see them again.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
the amount of people I want to do that to.
Yeah, that would be great. And you don't worry about her the rest of the time. She doesn't do anything.
No. No, she it's harmless. It's passive.
It's I noted it at the time. It's reminiscent of Turn Left.
Yes.
Yeah. In that it's an assistant heavy, not a doctor heavy.
Doctor light, yeah.
And it's about a what-if scenario. Yeah. An alternative timeline, etc.
Shooty was filming the last of Sex Education at the time, yeah.
It has similarities. But then how many nasty bug-eyed alien in Inlocked Castle, Inlocked Lighthouse, Inlocked Sea Base, Inlocked... Have we had... Yeah, stories do tend to fall into one of
Base
several...
Base under siege.
Yeah. So, but it's just, it's more of an unusual thing that's sliding doors, so you tend to notice it more.
When was the last time we had a Dr. Light? Didn't have any with Jodie.
No.
Didn't have any with Matt Smith, did we?
Did we have any with Peter?
Don't think so.
We had a Doctor Heavy, but not a Doctor Light.
Yeah, exactly.
Turn Left. Yeah. I thought she did very, very well in it.
Particularly given this is the first thing she shot.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As Ruby. It's pretty incredible, really.
Yeah.
She found that character immediately.
Mm.
So I wonder how much the rest of the stuff we've already seen was informed
by
this episode. Yeah. Presumably it was. It's quite a good one to start on.
Very impressive.
Yeah.
Mm. You've got no distractions. You can establish. Yeah. You've got it written down, but you can polish it up.
So she was there for weeks filming Doctor Who. Effectively on her own.
Yeah.
And I did like the way that she aged. This is going to sound daft. She aged like a lot of women do. She became more self-confident as she got older. Even though she's not confident, she's been abandoned. but that whole thing of like with the wine glass and chatting, which is difficult for a young woman to get your head into that frame. So I think that was a very well played part of giving that appearance of a more mature lady as she gets into her 40s and that kind of stuff. That has that little bit of confidence that comes with age.
I think also, no disrespect to her, but the way they dressed her helped as well.
Big glasses, but longer hair.
Well, so to begin with, it was short skirts. Mm-hmm. But as we got older, the length of the skirt got longer. It helps with the mind frame on how you're dressed as well, and including the glasses.
Big glasses.
Those glasses remind me so much of my NHS glasses from back in the 70s and 80s.
Fashion's come back around, you know.
Tell me about it.
And we had Mrs. Flood in there.
Yes.
Nothing to do with me, she said.
Yeah.
I know nothing.
Nothing to do with me.
So what is to do with you?
Indeed.
I actually enjoyed this one. I think it's...
good. It's very creepy as well.
Yeah.
Surprisingly creepy given the old woman was effectively doing nothing. Just
standing there, occasionally shrugging. Well, it's various M.R. James horrors.
Yeah.
You know, Whistle and I'll Come for You. It's things like that. It's things on the edge of your peripheral vision.
Present. Until right at the end when she's literally on a deathbed.
Yeah.
It came towards her. Yeah. Backwards for some reason.
Just turning round. I thought, oh, this is it. What's going on here?
Yeah. I have to admit, I did like that little scene here. So I've said the light and all you need to say is like, we did have those in my day.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was, 2086, that was, there.
Yeah.
She would do an 82.
Yeah.
She's not a great age, really. But, you know.
It's been interesting with everyone trying to work out if she's doing sign language and what she said and that kind of stuff. And as you say, I think that theory is the first one I've heard that. And that really does fit it a lot more, I think.
As I say, it reminds me a hell of a lot of Remember Me from Next Gen. Compartmentalising that, I think it's with her. She's in the time loop. She's the one who's been taken out of time.
Makes you wonder if the Doctor had a similar experience. Was he taken out of time into a time loop himself? Well,
he may have been, but like I said, he is a complex space-time event, so it may not have been able to affect him the same way.
Yeah, maybe not.
It might have kind of almost frozen him in amber, so to speak.
She has some vague unconscious memory of it, apparently.
Yes.
Because right at the end, she'd been to Wales three times rather than twice, as she said at the beginning. And in the next episode, there's some implication that maybe she's remembering Susan Twist's character from this episode, but maybe not.
Maybe
it's
not.
A bit ambiguous.
Yeah, because the Doctor says she was the face on the
ambulance.
Yeah, they both, next episode, they both recognise her.
Yeah.
So you've heard Keith's new twist on the story, so to speak, and us. So tell us what you think of 74 yards, 73 yards, 28 metres, 160 feet.
6.7, isn't it? Hop. Yeah, I don't know why it's in yards. Desertification of...
yards is a fine British measurement. The fact that most of us measure in metres unless it's miles. Yeah, don't get me started on measurements in England.
Don't go down that road.
It's like weird. So send us your comments at show@staggeringstories.net. Woohoo! I have a little sideline for you that someone raised. Now, it's still to do with this new series.
Okay.
But it's to do with Susan Twist.
Okay.
Someone noticed that in everything set in the present...
right.
She's wearing or has the colour blue around her.
Okay.
In everything set in the future, sorry, in the past, so the present or the future, it's in blue. And it's the past, it's got red around it.
Okay.
Which is why I was just asking you about
redshift blue shift.
It was even pointed out that as she walked towards Ruby...
mm-hmm.
On the cliff edge, she's wearing a blue coat.
Is she? I can't remember. Right.
But as she's walking away, she's got a red
backpack
on.
Right, okay.
So the question has been is
this Ruby?
No, is she some kind of temporal A fracture. So like when the Doctor fractured off, is this character, whoever she is, we don't know who she is at the moment.
Spread across space and time.
Is she fractured across space and time in the same way? Depending on whether you see her coming towards you, so to speak, yeah. Or see her in the past, detects whether which end of the light fracture you're viewing her on.
Certainly there's no indication that she has any memory of them. Every time we meet her, she's a different character. She has no recognition that we can tell, but who knows?
Having a look, we have... First time we saw her, she was in Brown, yes. Which is the maid with Sir Isaac Newton.
Okay, yes. Brown is kind of a ready colour.
Next time we saw her, she was the heckler or the girl at the pub where Ruby was playing, which is sort of a brownish-reddish T-shirt.
Okay.
Next time was Space Babies. She's in Star Trek Blue.
Right, future.
We then see her in Devil's Cord, where it's a red, orangey overall.
Past,
yeah.
Next time is the ambulance. We're not too sure what she's wearing, but the screen is tinted blue.
She does appear as a hologram, which I think is blue, a blue...
Yeah, yeah. Tinted blue.
Yeah, I think even in the hologram, she's wearing a kind of blue uniform.
Future.
The walker.
She's got blue.
It's blue, but I can't...
And then the backpack's red.
I can't see a backpack, so...
Yeah.
I'm not saying there wasn't...
If she walked away, she passed her... It's red.
Yeah.
Now, I hadn't noticed that it's primarily those two colour palettes she's in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I think is interesting.
Neither did I.
So, yeah, that was... It was just something someone noticed and they mentioned it on Facebook or one of the feeds. And I thought, oh, that is interesting. And they're saying, you know, is it a bit like Clara? Has something happened? Yeah. And who or whatever this is... Is a fracture.
Yeah. Is it Susan? Susan Foreman?
Is it Susan?
Spit through her own time stream somehow.
I'm hoping it's not Ruby because that's been done. That's Clara.
Yeah.
That's
it is been Clara. Done. Yeah, but that was, obviously that was Moffat. But
it's even still, it's been done.
It's been done.
Yeah. It's been done in recent memory.
Yeah. And it's was done as a pretty big part of the plot. It was the whole arc.
So the Doctor's going to have to gather up all these strands of whoever this character is to bring them together to meld them back into Ruby's mother, whoever she might be.
I just had a thought.
Oh, no.
Literally while I'm sitting here.
Oh, God.
The thought chair.
There's two Doctors.
There are currently two Doctors.
There are two TARDISes.
There are.
Yes.
Could it be a fracture of the TARDIS?
Ooh.
Just a fraction of it that got split off.
Don't know. I think we can probably assume that whatever happened, it probably happened around that sort of time with the Toy Maker.
Because
that's the current, obviously, what we're going through. It's not going to be, it might be a Time War type thing. It's unlikely.
Nah.
As I said, as much as I love the Time War, that has been done and I think we should move on from that now.
Yeah. Now, I suspect we will see whatever caused it in the finale or the last two episodes.
Yeah.
So we'll probably see the original character and how she's been split like this. Yeah. I assume. I don't know.
But so it'd be interesting to watch carrying on now if when a character appears in what would be Ruby's past or the past,
whether that is maintained.
And if its future is blue.
Yeah.
It might mean... Nothing.
Yeah.
It might be a red herring.
It might be a red herring.
I just have visions of Rusty Russell T sitting there in his darkened room, scribbling it down, giggling to himself. This will really screw them over.
Because you don't know what's red herring. And he knows by now that everything's inspected with magnifying glass.
Her outfits will be chosen very specifically.
Yeah.
They go through these tone meetings.
Yeah.
And this season in particular, each episode generally has had its own colour palette.
Yeah.
So, these things are definitely thought about.
Certainly the next episode we're going to talk about, I noticed that specifically.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So, do you think she's a creature of time, possibly a fraction, a bit of light?
Mutter.
Is it
Susan.
All a red herring and Romana. We're all reading too much into it?
Is she Davros?
Yeah. Okay, dear listeners. Again, some mad people have been watching TV at silly o'clock on a Saturday morning.
Hello. Not quite as early this time for me for this one, but here.
Some of us have been more sensible.
Hello. like I said, I don't usually go to bed until about 12:30 anyway.
Yeah.
I normally wake up a bit later on Saturdays, but for 73 yards, I had an event I was going to at 9:30, so I had to get up quite early. Oh. I was watching it at about 7:45. But this one, probably more like 9:30.
So we went from the Welsh hills and futuristic England to... I'm a baby girl in my baby wear.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
We've been watching Doctor Who, Dot, and Bubble. Bubble.
Sound like cartoon characters to me, but...
How comes Amazon aren't suing? The Amazon Dot?
Oh, right, yes.
Yeah. They don't know about it yet. Yeah. So somebody's going to be sitting in an office somewhere going, hang on a minute.
Yes, it was all a bit, you know, did Tutu feel at home watching this one?
Two in a row, we have a Doctor Light.
Yeah.
The same reason, he was similarly shooting Sex Education.
Well, it's a Doctor and Ruby Light, she was away shooting 73 yards.
Yeah. This is much more like Love and Monsters or Blink in that regard.
So we wake up to this young lady in a very pastel.
Yes. Yeah, the whole world.
It was with a pastel haircut. And she says, Dot. And this little thing flies out of her hand. Bubble. And the internet, basically. Yeah. Social media opens up around her.
Zoom, really.
And she's basically there zooming on social media. Everything about it looks a bit Barbie-ish.
Yeah.
It's all very surface, very fake.
Deliberately so.
It's like TikTok. You look at videos on TikTok, they're all very staged, they're all very fake.
Yeah.
I remember...
But everything, the colours, palettes, everything was that kind of like pastel. Yeah.
Nothing solid.
No bright colours, no dark colours, it's all pastel.
And all the thing they're wearing is either blue or sort of pinky colour.
Yeah. Aqua or
peach.
Yeah.
Everyone there is young.
Yes.
Between 17 and 27.
So it's a Club 17-27 holiday camp.
Yeah.
And they have to work a whole 2 hours a day.
Does cause chapping.
Yeah. No comment.
It's not very clear. They don't have anything on the table. They must do it within their virtual environment.
Their hands are merely resting on the table, so it's a contact showing that they're there, they're active.
Yeah. And just I get the feeling it's busy work just to have them have to do something.
Yeah.
The rest of the time they're partying, apparently. I don't quite know how that works. Is it them just inside their bubble talking to each other?
I think they're just inside their bubble.
They never leave their bubble.
As we saw, they can't exist without the bubble. I mean, she couldn't walk without the arrows.
Yeah. You can see through the bubble. It's
you can focus beyond it.
You can focus beyond it, and you can turn it off. But basically, most people seem to just... and this is literally what it is. They're walking around in a world of their own.
Yeah,
their own bubble, yeah.
It is their own bubble. It is the me culture to the nth degree.
It's the telephone addiction taken to the extreme.
Yeah.
The amount of YouTube videos we've seen of people walking into fountains because they're on their phone.
Oh, yeah. Happens all the time, yeah.
Yeah.
It is supposed to be the current young generation who are obsessed with social media, who can't exist without social media, that are influenced with social media, that don't go out and actually talk to real people because it's everything's via social media. It's all that kind of like...
It's a Black Mirror episode.
It's Black Mirror.
Yeah, it's the phone culture taken to the nth degree.
It's not subtle about it, but...
No.
It's fine. Yeah.
Sometimes Black Mirror isn't.
No, indeed. Yeah, to the point where she'd never even hugged anybody. She don't interact physically at all. She's in her little apartment, which is pretty basic. Doesn't need to have anything in there because it's all in this bubble.
It's the fact that she's got all her friends, but she's probably never met.
Yeah, never
physically had a conversation with them.
Now, we first of all have the Doctor come in on her screen.
Yeah.
And he says a few lines.
Yeah.
Warning you, you're in danger.
And she blocks him.
Immediately.
Rejects him out of hand.
Which at the time, I think, you would, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Coming in.
Yeah.
Not on your friends list.
Yeah.
Block him.
And to me, it was also a case of, he's a bit older than all the rest of these people. Yeah, he's outside of her social group age-wise.
Yes.
Then Ruby comes in and he's sweet-talking and all the rest of it.
Yeah, she's much more trying to fit in.
Yeah.
She's trying to use the lingo as best she can from her own experience of social media.
And this is the first hint, I think, of it not just being age.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did not get it until the end.
I've got to admit, to my shame, it didn't click with me.
Yeah.
Because you can explain it away
in
a non-racist way.
I at first didn't attribute that to racism.
No.
Because, one, he is older than they all are.
And just his approach is...
His approach was different.
His approach was full on.
He was full on. And as far as I'm concerned, this was an alien world at that point.
Yeah, I think it is.
Oh, yes, it's not Earth.
Not every planet will have people of colour in it. This might have been a planet where literally the only colour that evolved was white. If evolution took place in a temperate zone, everyone might have been white, just as there's going to be planets where everyone may be black. So it didn't, as it were,
continents back in the day before.
It didn't seem out of place to me that everyone was white and blonde-haired. Everyone was white and blonde-haired and kind of stuff.
Yeah, that's why I did not notice.
It just was, okay, that's the template for this planet. But as it went on, it was then other bits that came in. I have to say, why couldn't they have his one-eyed, two-horned, big-eyed, purple P3 to instead of itsy, witsy, teeny, weeny, which I've now heard on the radio twice today.
Oh, really?
And
Timmy Mallet.
Yeah, so what's more, it's the Timmy Mallet version.
Yeah, Timmy Mallet version, yeah.
That's the point at which I started to think, so this is a human colony.
Yeah.
I assume it is. It's never explicitly said, but it feels like a human colony from the future, from Earth.
Yeah.
Gone out to the stars.
So, anyway, they persuade her to realise that her work colleagues aren't actually at work with her, which she hadn't noticed.
Yeah. Well, one of them is sort of, or at least the legs are.
And the fact that, as you say, when she turns off the bubble, if she hasn't got the instructions, she can't walk. She can't function.
She doesn't know how
physically walk, but she just doesn't know how to navigate her body without the arrows on the
screen. Telling her where to go.
Yeah. She does get over it eventually, particularly once she meets Ricky September, is it? Yeah.
And walks into the lamppost.
She does walk it, but by the end there, she's getting the hang of it.
Yeah.
She's just as well.
Did the slugs remind anyone of the gastropods?
That's what I thought they were at first.
Yeah.
Remade.
Yeah.
Refreshed.
Back in the day, RTD1 would have said that it comes from a cousin planet or something like that.
Yeah.
Some kind of related.
Well, this
species.
Is it. I'm not sure. I think they may have been completely artificial in retrospect.
Mm.
Yeah, it's not.
They created by the dot.
It's a little unclear. It's not fully explained. And the doctor assumes that the AI, the dot, which is doing all their social media for them, has just got fed up of their vapid lives.
Yeah, it's...
And just wants them dead.
It's gained sentience and it's just had enough.
But
again, it's...
And I can't say to blame it.
Again, it's back, as we were discussing earlier, the AIs that they put on Twitter, and after 24 hours...
They've been turned into racists.
They have to turn it off because it's racist and wants to destroy the human race.
Yeah, well...
Our hero...
Heroine.
What's his
protagonist?
Favorite?
Oh.
Ricky September?
Ricky September is our...
Yeah.
Hero. He does his daft songs and then he turns his dot off and reads and does stuff like that.
Yeah, walks around the apartment by himself and outside. And,
It's very atypical, it seems.
Yes.
But it's interesting as the conversation goes on between Lindy and Ruby. The way she's talking to Ruby, it's like, she's a servant or something like that.
Well, she did say she was working for the company, Fine Dining Corporation, initially.
But she's talking to her
that classification. She's a maid. She's not important. Yeah. I can insult you any way I like.
Yeah.
And then you become aware that they're actually only the really wealthy children.
So
it becomes even more the elite group. We then find out the homeworld is basically a cinder ball.
So we got slugs on the homeworld as well.
So they got through.
Were they slugs on the homeworld? Because it looked like more that they'd had a nuclear.
The place was devastated and grey. But yes, there were a few slugs dotted around. We only saw it briefly, but they were there.
Right.
Yeah, they definitely were there. So it does make you wonder, did they start on the homeworld and get smuggled in
with
the latest 17-year-olds?
Yeah, that's what I think. They started on the homeworld and they may have been smuggled in as supplies or whatever.
Yeah, to, that implies it clearly isn't just these idiots on this planet yeah. who were find time who were being killed.
Yeah.
It probably started off on homeworld.
It started, yeah. That's what I think.
The AI gained sentience and decided to...
Yeah, we don't get a name for the homeworld. It's just called the homeworld.
Home world. Yeah.
But it started there. They had the same system there.
Presumably. And were they all in a similar situation with the bubble, perhaps?
From what we saw from, yet again, Susan Twist appearing, mm-hmm. it did seem to be the same setup.
It did, although hers obviously pre-recorded. Yeah. So we don't know if she's always in it, like the kids are.
But the chances are, even if it's not 24/7, you think of society as it is now, and whilst you might have, you know, your teenage son or daughter basically comes home, goes up to their room and is on their internet, the parents are still also WhatsApping their friends, etc.
Oh, yeah.
So they would still be using the AI. Yeah,
there is a variation of it.
Maybe in a slightly different way,
yeah.
but it's not going to be isolated just to... No. Find no. time.
It does make you wonder why they bother to send them off to another planet.
Get rid of them.
That Biark thing, is it? Yeah.
Get rid of the little monsters.
Yeah.
Because if they're just at home in their little bubble, does it matter that they're on a different planet?
No.
Yeah.
Why are you in my house? Why are you not out working?
I have paid this for you.
I am paying for your internet. And what are you doing?
I actually found this to have more holes in it than 73, 74, 69 yards.
I don't know about holes.
Because it's like, one, why are they there?
Yes.
Two, and this is the wave the sonic at it and it'll go away kind of style. Right, the dot has become sentient. The AI has become sentient.
Yep.
It's developed a slug-like creature.
Potentially.
Potentially, or it's harnessed the slug-like creature to take them out one at a time. Mm-hmm. Alphabetically.
Yeah.
Yeah, it can go red and via a hole through their brain, so why didn't it just all kill them overnight while they were sleeping? If it's so fed up with them, why not just blast all their brains out at once?
I don't see that as a problem. That seems more logical, methodical.
It's methodical.
It is an AI. It's logical and it is methodical. So it's taking a logical pattern in eliminating them. The only reason it went red and through his head is because he had been missed. He was Ricky Cohen, not Ricky September. So he should have been dead 4 months ago.
Yeah, well, certainly a week or so ago.
Yeah.
I don't know. It is strange, but then it would be potentially quite obvious. Some people would survive the dot attacking them potentially, and then it's very obvious. Oh, it's the dot that's doing it, not an outside alien invasion. Mm. Maybe there's some deniability required by the AI for some reason.
Yeah.
Whereas a few people killed by the dots might get lost.
Yeah. If you kill them all by the dots, your victims are going to know and attempt to mobilise against you.
Yeah.
If you do it within the dot that can't within the bubble that can't see the thing. And you can guide them directly into it.
Which it was.
Yeah.
I don't know about it. Yeah, you kind of like feel, you know, like, yeah, they're trying to help her and India and the rest of it.
Yeah.
That scene where she basically feeds Ricky to the dot.
Yeah.
In order to make her escape.
That's when it went. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's when I sat there and thought, you bitch.
Yeah.
And then when you get them the reaction to the doctor.
Yeah.
That's when you really, it starts to. Okay, if you weren't sure, if you thought this was just because he was old, if you thought this was just... No, this is a point where she's looking down at both of them, it's him because of his colour and her
it's the
because
contempt.
She's... Yeah, it's the contempt.
The actress was marvellous because it was the look of contempt in her eyes.
Yeah, yeah, that must have been a really tough role.
Yeah.
She's playing a character, but to have to be that way towards another human being.
Yeah, yeah.
Particularly... knowing that you're meant to be racist towards him. That must be really tough to do.
It was the level of contempt that she conveyed there, which was...
And not just her, the other two as well.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Don't get contaminated or something one of them says.
So that's the point that I suddenly realised you didn't have any Asians. You didn't have any person of colour.
No.
They're all Aryan white.
generally blonde or sort of coloured hair.
I think there was one or two dark-haired people, but they got off. They got eaten pretty quickly.
And the doctor's reaction at the end, at first...
Yeah, it's incredible.
I thought he was starting to laugh.
Initially he did.
He did, it wasn't laugh of humour.
No, it was laugh of frustration. And he turned it round, and it was a really powerful... That was his first story that he did out the lot.
Yeah.
So, the last one was Ruby's formation.
Yeah.
This is the Doctor's formation.
It was the fact
he'd done the regeneration move.
Yeah. He was the fact that he was willing to lessen himself. Mm. He was willing, despite the fact that who they were, he still wanted to rescue them.
He's by far the better person there. He said, I don't care what you think or what you say.
Yeah.
Let me save you. Yeah. Even though they were clearly terrible, horrible people.
Yeah.
And the things they were doing to him. But no, I don't care. Let me save you, but no.
And
pretty incredible stuff.
Most stories, you are supposed to have empathy.
Yeah.
Or hatred.
Yeah.
One or the other. You've got to hate the villain in order for them to die. You've got to have empathy with them and that kind of stuff. I didn't feel anything for them. At that point at which Ricky under the...
Yeah.
Yeah, that's when it really turned.
And then the reaction to the doctor, I'm like, well, get on the damn ship and go...
Go
do something else, because you ain't going to last long, bunch of...
Yeah,
they wouldn't last a week out there, would they?
I suspect that they're only going to last one night trying to sleep out in the open.
I had no empathy at all for those characters then at that point.
Yeah,
by that
you weren't meant to, really.
I don't think
No.
Even Lindy, as the protagonist, you're meant to think she's self-absorbed.
Yeah,
you're meant to think, even from the beginning.
She's the Daily Mail version of a modern teenager. Yeah.
Expecting any moment for her to reach beyond herself.
That's it. Yes. And it felt like she was going that way when she first met Ricky September.
Yeah.
She started to have a bit of human contact.
Yeah.
It felt like she was starting to grow as a person a bit, maybe.
Yeah.
And then she completely turned it she sentenced him to death, effectively.
She dumped on it from a great height.
Yeah.
He was the only one that you actually had empathy or sympathy for.
Yeah. He was the only full human being there.
Yeah. We don't know what his views on other races might be, but if any of them would have been more open-minded, it would have been him.
He was willing to shut off the bubble. He was willing to get out and look around and explore.
He was willing to read books.
Yeah.
To step outside of his own preconceived ideas.
He wanted to help people.
Yeah. It wasn't subtle. This was really about the idea of people living within their own bubble of what they believe being reflected back to them.
Yeah.
Of not switching it off and going and seeing another perspective, of not reading another book.
Targeted adverts, targeted thought.
Yeah, we didn't have any adverts or anything like that, did we? Which is odd in the way, but yeah, it's very surface level, like TikTok and things like that are. So all these people were playing an act, really,
but even
living
more,
a lie.
But even more so in that you're only seeing your channels.
Yeah, completely. Yeah.
You know, you're not getting anything else coming. You're not going to see any other perspective on the world other than what you want to see.
Yeah, and even more so given they've all been bunched together physically as well, all these like-minded and like-everything people.
I wonder if there are other bubbles on the place where you've got other races, if they've all split themselves off racially, or...
I don't know.
This was only a snapshot.
Mm.
Yeah.
It depends what was happening, how the homeworld was set up, and the attitude from the homeworld.
That's it.
It did remind me of Rosa, and that bizarre racist from the future. I think, how can there be racism in the future? Here we have it again.
Well,
he wondered, did Krasko maybe come from this society?
Well, unfortunately, it's what I meant to mention at the time, but I got swept away in what I mentioned here.
Yep.
It's certain aspects of the human nature as we all fall back on. We've had Cassandra from the year 5 billion dot.
Yeah.
I call them less than human, digi-humans, semi-humans. Do you know what I call them? Mongrels. It's part of the aspect of human nature that is always with us, is the fact that I am better than you. Doesn't matter the reason, it's just I am better than you.
Partly it's evolution. In that, you know, you're a cave person, you know people in your tribe, your group. Other cave person come from other side of mountain. Are they going to steal your cave, your land, etc.? It's very, very instinctual.
Dislike of the unlike.
Yeah.
But it's an instinct we should have learnt to recognise and overcome
out of.
But it's also that thing of I would say any country, but I'm thinking of one where it isn't the case. Most countries, you will have people will come to your country from somewhere else because of war or what have you, mm-hmm. and they're them.
Yeah.
And then after a while, they've integrated into society in what way mm-hmm. or another, and then you see the next lot of them come over, and they're standing with everyone else going, oh, we don't want them over here kind of stuff.
Yeah.
You know, you're one of them until you're one of us. If you never have that one of them integrate, being allowed to be one of us, you know, whatever those them are and us are, you end up with this reinforcement of that very primeval self-protection idea of you don't look like me, you don't sound like me, are you for or against me? That very, very primeval, non-logical bit of the brain.
But I admit,
which a certain politician taps into. Yeah, but that's another matter.
I admit, with the Rosa Parks one, they did try to explain that with the sledgehammer, but...
Yeah.
Well, that's chibnall. But yeah. My feeling is, in the future, if we have gone out to the stars, there are other alien races, then our village just expands. Okay, maybe we have people racist against the aliens, but humans are humans at that point. It's not about colour of skin anymore. Yeah. It's about the them becomes aliens. But I don't know.
All of us are now against
them. Yeah,
them
which is why I find it hard to believe that there are racists in the future. But then I suppose there may well be.
Well, yeah, I agree with that. But also, you've got to remember that these are a reflection of present times.
Yeah, well,
just as you had the original founding fathers of America were people leaving Europe for religious persecution reasons. this is the story. This is
the pilgrims.
You know, they the wrong group of Christians, or they weren't the right group of Christians,
I think the actual fact is they weren't the right sort of Christians because everyone else was a lax one. They weren't persecuting people enough.
But they had a different opinion to everyone else. We don't know that this may be a branched off colony that basically just wanted to be other white people.
Maybe.
Putting it bluntly.
Yeah.
Maybe it wasn't the AI that turned against them. Maybe somebody had manipulated the AI to turn against them and supplied the slugs and just wanted the entire civilization killed, homeworld and fine time and the whole lot. Who knows? Maybe it would come back at some point. Yeah.
You have people who want to maintain the Aryan race and blah, 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 blah. Well, maybe you had a small group of that kind of mind still continued on, established a colony, and that's what grew.
As one of them said, it's our God-given duty to maintain the standards of fine time.
Yeah.
Looking directly at the doctor, as I said.
Yeah.
We could find those words uttered by umpteen people, unfortunately, on the interweb, but it won't say fine time, it will say another country or another religion or another ideal.
Although I did see that RTD mentioned recently he wasn't sure if he'd made it explicit enough why they turned down the doctor. Yeah. And I was speaking to somebody yesterday who didn't pick up on the racism until seeing the comments about the episode afterwards. I was surprised at, frankly.
I didn't pick up on it during the episode, admit. But it was only after it percolated in my brain for a little while. It was, hang on a minute.
It's on the dock when I noticed.
I think, I was being a bit more generous, and I was putting it down to age and this whole idea of the fact that on this world they didn't have black people, not because I got rid of them, it just hadn't been an evolutionary event that they went down.
I honestly didn't notice they didn't have any non-white people.
To my shame, I didn't notice at the time.
But then if you've never had non-white people in your life, that's what I'm saying. If it went down an evolutionary arm.
But I mean, when I was watching the episode, I didn't notice.
Oh, you didn't?
Non-white people.
As I said, to my shame, I didn't notice during the watching. It's only as I said, it percolated down through the brain, and I suddenly, hang on a minute.
The doc scene definitely cemented it in my mind.
That's
of like, okay.
Excuse me, sir, that's voodoo. And okay, you're not one of us.
Yeah, so this isn't just happens to be
your duty to save me, that sort of thing, yes.
A white evolutionary tract. This is definitely a little bit more than that.
Yeah.
I think this is an interesting story in that it played with two things. It played with race.
Yeah.
And the perspective of race and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But also this having your sound bubble reflected back to you, people not interacting, not looking at other viewpoints and all becoming trapped in their own little worlds.
Yeah. And it was a great episode, but that ending was what really made it.
Yeah. Mm. Oh, yeah.
Oh, certainly. Shooty's acting at the end. Yeah. I mean, he was...
Both of them acting. Oh,
yeah.
Shooty
and... I mean, yes. Ruby was almost in tears there.
Yeah. It's her trying to pull him away.
Yeah. I mean, it was excellent from all of the cast in it. It really was. Yeah. And the fact that, you know, it's a fiction show, etc. The fact that as they pulled out the dock and she's still looking at him like he's a bit of... On the bottom of her shoe. And you still sat there thinking, well, screw you then. Yeah. You know, good luck. Go do the other thing.
Wash your hands.
To a character, you know, you felt that visceral feeling.
Wash your
hands. Some people would have felt hatred. Yeah. I just felt total...
disbelief, really. Yes.
Contempt for the character.
It's pretty amazing. Yeah, it's Shooty Gap is barely in it, but nonetheless, he should be up for some kind of award for this episode.
Yeah.
As should Callie Cook, who played Lindy. Again, an amazing... Because clearly she's not like that in real life.
No.
She totally inhabited that character.
Yeah.
And all those terrible traits and...
That just suddenly came to the fore.
Yeah, she played a pretty terrible character throughout, and amazingly
It was good acting on behalf... You know, the whole Barbie-esque. And everything was kind of like...
So.
It must be hard to try and pretend that you can't walk straight.
Yeah.
I mean, it had its little bits of humour in it as well. Yeah, walking into the lamppost and the like. Yeah. But it is an interesting story, and I think it dealt with racism in some ways a lot better than Rosa did. And I know Rosa's about racism, but it's about racism that happened... It was an incident for real, etc. This dealt with the whole idea of it, I think, a lot more subtly and better.
It's almost more shocking here because he's wanting to save their lives, but they're refusing his help.
Their own ignorance.
Yeah, exactly. So he's condemning themselves.
Yeah.
So Callie Cook is 30. She's too old to be in.
What, the last that played?
Yeah.
Is she?
Yeah, she was born in 93. She's going to be 31 in October.
Oh.
Yeah. Another amazing episode. I think this is a 3 for 3 now.
So far,
The first two were good in their own way, but these past three of Boom, 73 Yards and Dot and Bubble have been amazing. All very different.
Like I said, with the I enjoyed the first two, but I think they've been the weakest ones so far, and they should have been placed further back in the season.
Yeah,
myself. But
it is a bit strange to have two Doctor Lights in a row.
Yeah,
particularly if we've only got 8 episodes.
Yeah,
I'm wondering if also some of it is, and I think a lot of people were shocked, isn't the right word. It's so much flashier, I think it's the only way I can put it. There's so much more money spent on it than there has been for a long time. It kind of like looked a bit weird because it looked too clean, it looked too well done, and it's taken our minds a little while to get
adjust.
And I wonder if that's also partly what had an impact on the first one or two, maybe. Because I know it did for me for the first one. It's like, what the? But yes, tell us what you think of Amazon's Dot. Sorry, tell us what you think of Dot and Bubble by emailing us at show@staggeringstories.net.
Woo-hoo. Did you see we went the other way around? That's it's good.
This is the best day of my life. There are still thousands of people being eaten alive.
Oh, that was a wonderful line. That was brilliant. Showed you the difference of the two characters, didn't it? So we have feedback, I believe. So thank you, dear listener. How many listeners have we got? I know we have feedback from one listener. Do we have feedback from more than one?
We have got multiple feedback. We've got a couple of written feedbacks, a couple of audio feedbacks.
Oh, dear listeners. Thank you, dear listeners.
Thank you, indeed.
We have feedback. Oh, hang on, before I go to this.
Save
I've just
lives.
Suddenly realised.
Yes.
Our own overlord, our own RTD2.
He's staring at me.
He may envelop us like a slug, if we're not careful.
He's staring at me. I can't look away.
Hello, head of Pertwee.
Inky Moot Squirtzalot, Handles, Cloth Nebula, a Dangerous Churchill, Nazi Spock, Dave Zilla, Terence, Somebody help.
I can't remember the names of them all.
Goofield, Grogu.
The ensemble. Graham. The ensemble that live in this room.
Evil Cat.
Grunhu. Oh, the Evil Cat.
The Evil Cat.
The Evil Cat has returned.
My Evil Cat that has broken more things in 18 months than all my other cats in their combined 40-odd life. Years.
You thought of a shotgun?
One year, we bought El Presidente a white Persian putty tat toy.
Yeah. And he's been, James Bond.
Yes. Yeah. He's been missing for many a year.
Yeah, been a few years.
Decided to run away. It was too evil a house even for him. So we have feedback.
Yay, feedback.
We have B's feedback from Naya.
Ah, hello, Naya.
Hello, Naya.
Hello, staggering storytellers. So, for the first two-thirds, I loved 73 Yards because it was creepy. And Doctor is best when it's gothic.
Mm.
Then I hated it because...
Yeah.
What? It was always her?
Yep.
How did that work? And I wish just talking for 10 seconds to a megalomaniac would make him run away forever. I could not suspend my disbelief enough for that alone.
Imagine what you could do if you were in New York recently.
Yeah. Yeah. I hope my theory has helped you reconsider.
Yeah.
What? Well... Then a Welsh person on social media started talking about the legends of Gwyll and its connection to the woman haunting Ruby, and suddenly made sense. Gwyll is a mountain spirit, guards the mountains, often seen as an old woman, and if you offend her, she will play tricks on you or punish you or that kind of stuff.
Okay.
I don't know Welsh folklore, but I do know those mountains. The Caledonia Mountains and the Appalachians are the same range, formed before there were continents.
Yeah.
The land, the cultures and the language drifted, but the legends didn't. Not really.
Okay.
There is something in Kentucky backwards that would hear Kate talking about salt and iron and laugh. Keep me away. There's salt and iron in your blood, little girl. And something in North Carolina Hollow would think it was only fair to punish someone for laughing with a friend at your circle by making them live a lifetime without friends to learn a little respect.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of these mountain things. And if that person does the Fae a good turn, maybe by stopping someone from turning their mountain into smoking holes, something deep in a Virginia cave would reward that person with a second chance to do the right thing the first time.
Mm.
I can't think of any fays that would do nice things to you and evil things otherwise. If you view 73 Yards not as science fiction story or political parallel, but as a folktale warning of what happens when you don't have proper respect for what's been there longer than you.
Mm.
It stays a creepy gothic all the way through. Naya.
Okay,
thank you, Naya.
And we have another one from Naya.
Oh, right, okay.
Hello, hello, Stoggerman Stories.
Hello.
After that long email for 73 Yards, this is a short and happy. Dot and Bubble is a proper who. A little scary. A little silly, silly. A lot of running.
Yep.
An unexpected shock.
Yeah.
Dawning recognition of the subtle twist arc. And some serious Shakespearean acting as Duty had to whiplash through about 15 emotions in as many seconds.
Yes,
I'd like to know who made the creature and why. But I can live with that question as I watch it over and over again. Naya.
Okay, good. It sounds like you're much happier than the last couple.
Yeah.
Was it Dot and Bubble where...
The mother is Susan Twist.
Yeah, and she says she looks familiar and the...
Yes.
Yeah, they both recognise her.
So they're both starting to recognise her. That was in Dot and Bubble.
It was.
Yeah. So, we have some audio feedback, I believe.
I've got
another letter.
Oh, have we?
Yes.
Right, who's this one from? Jay. Hello, staggerers.
Hello, Jay.
Another couple of who's and another set of my rambles that could just about be called commentary. 73 Yards by RTD the second.
Gee, they both
That was a bit mysterious one, wasn't it?
Yep.
Very much a Dr. Light episode.
And Millie Gibson did fantastic carrying this one off by herself.
Yeah.
Shruti Gatwa appears to have having commitments to film the final series of Sex Education back in the latter part of December 22 into January.
Mm-hmm.
We're only a little wiser after the episode than we were when we went in.
Yep.
Though it became pretty clear once we saw the passage of time with Ruby's aging that A, things were going to get reset at the end.
Indeed,
and
yeah.
that B, the old woman was Ruby.
Mm.
I know that my previous feedback for episode 2, I was pretty unhappy about the sheer fantasy that we had with Maestro.
Mm-hmm.
Here we have a different kind of fantasy, but it's one that has pretty much no explanation at all. It just works.
Mm.
At least for the first half of the episode, since the whole thing with the PM who is going to push the nuclear button on the day one really doesn't seem to do much other than give Ruby something to work against. And maybe for 6 months of the rest of her life.
Mm.
In the grand scheme of things, was this a part of the story even worth having?
Ooh, I think so.
I think so. I think she needed a protagonist, someone to fight against.
She needed to have her penance. She needed to do an act.
I think she needed someone to fight against. Otherwise, she's just there wallowing in self-pity.
Mm. And staring at the woman some 3 yards away.
Yeah, and there's only one way that can end.
Yeah.
We have no idea why things happened the way they did the first time round with the fairy circle, but that's left totally unexplained. Means that while this could have been a fantasy type explanation, there also could have been some reason why things were caused to happen.
Mm.
Here's the absence of the explanation seems to elevate the story than if we had to explained away by the Doctor.
Yeah.
Mm. I think it's better because, as we've seen here, we all come out with our own theories.
Mm. Yeah, and also, if the Doctor were there to explain it, the Doctor would have solved it in five minutes.
Yeah.
So it is vital in this particular story that the Doctor wasn't there.
Yeah.
It wouldn't have worked with him there at all.
It's very rare that we have a story in Doctor Who where there is just no explanation for what happened. So this is a bit of a treat.
Mm.
And it let RTD pen the kind of story that he does very well, when he gets to make a character piece, and it certainly was that for Ruby.
Yeah.
Wonderful to see Gemma Redgrave turn up as Kate Lethbridge-Stewart again,
yay,
even if she did allude that units were now dealing with more supernatural stuff.
Yes.
In terms of season-long arc-type things, we've had another snow scene, but this time Ruby mentioned that it never snowed again for her after that time.
Mm.
Other than climate change moving forward, this may be relevant going forward. Also, this episode had the usual twist in it. I see what you did there.
Mm-hmm.
And by that, I mean Susan Twist, this time as the hiker that Ruby encounters.
Yeah.
While part of me wonders if they're with the Action Union's equity and lack of available guest stars.
Yeah, right.
Yes.
Yeah, right. Lack of guest stars. Yeah.
Or perhaps not.
Yeah.
Bring us on to Dot and Bubble.
Yep.
Before I get into the rest of it, in this story, the Doctor and Ruby actually comment on Lindy's mum looking like the same person as the face from the ambulance on Kustron 3 and somewhere else.
Mm.
Okay, perhaps there is more to it then.
Yes.
Anyway, very much a Doctor Who meets Black Mirror, as RTD2 had promised.
Okay.
Though parts of this kind of reminded me of the Wes Anderson movie with the pastel colours, Inhabitants of Fantime.
Yeah.
The camera facing them face on and little things like that.
Yeah, slightly artificial everything, yes.
Mm.
Yeah.
Deliberately so, I think.
Yeah.
Aside from that, this story seems like it was just going to be a case of look up from your phone, social media, to see what's going on in the world around you.
Yeah.
But then started going down a much darker path the more we found out about Lindy and this world.
Mm.
Perhaps it's no wonder why the home world shipped all these self-absorbed rich kids to somewhere else. But along with the veiled racism of Lindy against the Doctor being immediately hostile towards him and then re-meeting him again saying, "I thought you just looked the same," is pretty ugly.
Yes.
Mm.
The dislike of Lindy, of course, increases exponentially when she deliberately sets Dot on the poor Ricky September, who may have actually been the only decent person in Fine Time, just to save herself, finally culminating with the belief that the Doctor and Ruby are going to contaminate, speech marks, her and the survivors.
Yeah.
Good riddance to them is what I say, and maybe, just maybe, the Dots were justified in their extermination of that populace. Sure, the Doctor was frustrated that he couldn't save anyone this time around, but some people get what they deserve.
Yeah.
Though the way the Dots were going about it just seemed weird. the more you examine it closely. They somehow manage to construct these carnivorous slugs to eat people one at a time. Why not just lead them up onto the roof, since you're so willing to follow directions of how to even walk, and have them just walk off the roof?
Yeah.
Or just do what the dot did to Ricky September and just let itself projectile to the head. Mm. Far more efficient. I guess the story wouldn't have been as interesting, though. Still, I think it's better than Space Babies or The Devil's Chord. Tutty bye for now, Jay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jay.
Yeah, I still put it down to deniability.
Yeah, I think, one, as you said, the story would have been over far too quickly.
Well, there is that too.
But yeah, as you said, I think it's deniability, and from where it is, it's an AI. It's a computer, so it's logical progression. Yeah. You have lists.
Mm. And it's Doctor Who, you need a monster.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, two. You had the AI and you had the slugs.
Yeah. You had three.
People, yeah.
Yeah, three and people, yeah.
Although, do they deserve to die? Ideally, they'd be educated.
Yeah.
No, they didn't deserve to die, but they embraced death by their attitude.
Yeah, some people.
Yeah, some people you can't help.
Yeah, indeed.
As with with addiction, you've got to recognise you've got a problem before you do anything about it.
I believe we have some audio feedback as
well. Audio! 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 Feedback!
Right, we have one here. From Tim.
Hello, Tim!
Hello, Staggerers. Hello, Head of Pertwee. Hello to the rest of the menagerie. It's Tim from Tim's Take On here. Thought I'd try and send you some shorter feedback about a recent episode of Doctor Who.
All right.
After my rather lengthy rant last time. I will be pleased to hear that I am over that bout of insomnia, and I now have things, non-prescribed things, but they are allowing me to sleep a lot better.
Night owl.
Thought I'd send you a few thoughts on Doctor Who's Dot and Bubble. I would have sent you a few thoughts about 73 Yards as well, but that was an episode that left me in two minds, and after mulling over it for a week, I thought, what's my final decision on it? I like it rather than I love it. It had a lot going for it, but we'll move on to Dot and Bubble.
Mm.
A world where people seem to live permanently in their social media bubbles and
literally
can barely even get around their own planet without being guided by an AI.
Yeah.
I loved this episode. It must have been inspired by the lockdowns of 2020, because it just... And I didn't take part in anywhere near as many Zoom calls as some people. A few months into lockdown, a member of staff at my morning job at Pembroke College was missing having tea breaks. And so we had an online tea break once a week on a Tuesday morning. And so that was my most regular Zoom call. And then there was a Doctor Who quiz that I remember some of you taking part in with me. Mm. And other than that, Tavisode meetup did some online stuff during that time, but I was certainly not using Zoom quite as much as some people did.
Mm.
So yeah, the Zoom calls of 2020 definitely inspired it, and watching the people walking round, and the only way they could get round was this bubble telling them what to go, I went, has Russell T. Davis been watching me whenever I visit anywhere unfamiliar? Because that's basically me.
Google's map.
It is in some ways both the best and the worst invention ever to hit a smartphone is GPS, because it's so good at times, when it works properly, when you're somewhere where it can see the satellites, that it is a very easy way of getting around and saves you a lot of time and hassle and having to ask friendly locals the way or find an actual physical map. And then there's a few other times when it doesn't work as well, like when I was in New York for a few hours in 2017, and the skyscrapers there are so high that the phone cannot see the satellites consistently, and you're kind of using the phone and then using a bit of sort of common sense to find your way as well. But no, I thought this was a wonderful episode. The characters in it were very interesting as well, and it was only a fair few minutes into the episode, due to the way they've done it with the Doctor and Ruby popping up in the sort of Zoom call-y type thing with the central character. It was quite a few minutes in when I suddenly thought to myself, this is a Doctor Light episode. I possibly could have been halfway through when I went, yeah, there's not much of him in this one, but it was none the worst for that.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, I particularly like the little sort of double twist ending at the end when Ricky September, the sort of online pop star, shows up and she goes all kind of fangirly over him. Yeah. And then there's that big confrontation where this AI is either going to kill her or kill Ricky September, and she goes, Ricky September's not his real name. His real name begins with C, and this distracts it, and she kills him.
Yes.
Yeah. Which is a horrible thing to do.
Definitely.
Not good.
And then you have the end of the episode where the Doctor's pleading with them to save them, and they say, oh, no, we're not going to. And there were some interesting bits of language at this point.
Yes.
Where he desperately tries to rapidly explain the TARDIS to them and say, oh, I've got this ship. It's bigger on the inside to the outside. And one of them says to him, that's voodoo.
Yeah.
And even though that was the level of the language in this episode, it took me till a few minutes later when I was watching Doctor Who Unleashed and Russell T. Davis points out, oh, didn't you notice not only everyone on this planet is young and rich and privileged, but they're all white. Mm. And it's actually about racism. And I went, oh, I didn't notice that.
Right.
I really didn't. I don't know if that's bad on my point, very, very enjoyable episode. And as I record this, the next one is the Regency episode, the one that alludes to Bridgerton, a show that I've never seen.
Likewise.
But does look fun. Mm. Well, bye for now.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Yeah, is it bad we didn't notice that everybody's white? Probably is.
Yeah.
I think if we weren't white, we probably would have noticed.
As, like I say, it's only afterwards that it percolated down, and I am ashamed that it didn't occur to me at the time.
Yeah,
I think it depends from your starting point, your perspective, who you are, etc.
Yeah.
And I think also because it is sci-fi set in another time, another galaxy, far, far away, etc., etc., you've also got that, like I thought at first, it just is that society.
Yeah. Although if that were the case, they probably would have pointed it out nowadays. Because they do go for diverse casting generally.
Yeah.
And if they don't, they would make a point of it.
Yeah.
Like, for example, if they were casting the Thals now, they would make a point of, oh, they're all very Aryan, as the Thals were.
Mm.
It would be a line. Hang a lantern on
it. They would, and try to head off criticism, which they would naturally get from having a less than diverse cast. It is a bit bad, didn't notice, frankly, but I didn't, so.
In the last couple of stories that were set on Scarlo, we did have actors of colour.
Yes. And we'll see what we get next week.
Yeah.
If it's Regency Earth, presumably it's going to be mostly white, though not entirely, back in that age.
I was going to say, what time was the Regency? It was before Victorian.
Yeah.
So
early 1800s, so late
1700s. There wouldn't have been so many people of colour in Britain, but they weren't unknown and they weren't slaves necessarily
point. No.
Or second-class citizens. If they were poor, they were poor. If they were rich, they were rich. End of.
Yeah.
Kind of stuff.
Depending on where you are. If you're in somewhere like Liverpool or London, you're more likely to see other ethnicities.
Yeah. But if you were a rich Asian or Chinese person or African person, you would have been a rich person. They saw money more than anything else at that point.
Well, we'll see how it goes next week. I don't know anything about it. I don't know other than what that's been said. So, right, we have one final bit of feedback then from Catherine the Dragon Maker.
Ooh. Yay! Catherine! Terence says hello.
Hello, Staggerers. Hello, Terence. Hello, Dave Zilla the Mighty. And hello, Head of Pertwee. You know, I had my spring and summer all planned out.
Uh-oh.
Had a bunch of events lined up. I had a good schedule of production so that I'd have enough stock to sell at said events. Everything was good to go. But I was even getting feedback into you guys almost regularly.
Yeah.
And then the universe laughed and laughed.
Oh, dear.
On the other hand, we've got new Doctor Who.
Yeah.
Rather a lot of it in the last few weeks.
Indeed.
Here are some quick-ish thoughts, as once again, I'm short on time sending this in. Let's see. Space babies. The 2-minute Time Lord suggested making a drinking game out of this episode. Take a drink every time the Doctor says, Space babies! I didn't try, as I don't think my liver could take such abuse. Yes, there was a lot of exposition in the beginning to bring new viewers up to speed. Was it annoying? Not to me.
Yeah.
Every season is someone's first.
Yeah.
Why not give them a quick recap of the last 60 years?
They rattle through it very
quickly. Yeah, I know. It's only an 8-episode season. Every minute counts. Let's go, go, go!
Yeah, yeah.
But still, I wasn't as bothered by the CGI used on the babies as a lot of people were.
No, neither
was I. The snot monster was much more disturbing, especially when it was coming apart in the airlock.
Yeah.
Ew. The Devil's Cord.
Oh, yeah.
Weirdly, this one didn't stick with me.
Okay.
Mm. Might have been all the other things swirling around at the time.
Mm.
I plan on watching all of the season again soon. Boom.
Boom.
This was a brilliant episode.
Yeah.
I love Moffat dipping back to a concept he'd introduced in the early Smith era and bringing back the Anglican Church as an army.
Yeah.
Mm.
And then the Doctor comments that Ruby's living in a blip.
Yeah.
Oh, gave me a little shiver.
Mm-hmm.
It was a great twist that the Doctor, while being present throughout, was unable to do anything but talk.
Yeah.
Mm.
So well written, presented, and acted all the way around. Even the child actor was good, if not great. While I really enjoyed the Vass Tathy's era as showrunner, his best work on Doctor Who was definitely during RTD's reign.
Yeah.
Reigns.
Yeah.
73 yards.
Oh, yeah.
I must say, I wasn't expecting a Doctor Light episode in such a short season.
Indeed.
But I was impressed with this one. Also very impressed with Ruby's moisturizing routine at age 40. And that when 40, they showed yeah. her even older, they brought in an actually older actor.
Yeah.
Yes. Mm.
Slathering a young person in old age makeup is rarely convincing.
Yeah.
The scenes in the pub were wonderful. I loved all the locals taking the piss out of the stranger.
Yep.
And I had no idea that the arch old lady sitting at the bar was Sian Phillips. Forgive my pronunciation, please. She was brilliant, as always.
Yeah.
And now I want to rewatch I, Claudius.
Never seen that. I must catch it.
Dot and Bubble, the episode y'all haven't covered yet.
I
have now. I definitely need to watch this one again, especially knowing the twist.
Yeah.
There's a lot of twists in this season so far.
Definitely few differently.
Like
a
lot
time.
Of white people. Yeah. I didn't notice that there were no people of color in the show. I did note that everyone was young, pretty, and were nearly all blonde from the start, but that's already a lot of that on TV, even these days. What a piece of work our lead character turned out to be.
Oh, yeah.
I am too busy as usual to get deep on these stories, but you guys do that.
Thank you.
Mustache, looking forward to listening to this episode driving home from my next Celtic festival. Anon, Catherine the Dragon Maker.
Thank you, Catherine.
Postscript. Apologies for any traffic or construction noises you may hear in the background.
Yeah, there was a bit.
The windows are open, and they're building a house just up the street.
I wondered what they were.
I just wonder if he was driving.
I was thinking, you can't be doing this and driving.
Yeah, thank you. I hope things work out okay. I don't know whatever's going on there. But,
life settles down into a more acceptable pattern.
Yeah, indeed. I do wonder what people of other ethnicities would have seen in the Dot and Bubble that we didn't until it became fairly blatant at the end.
Pointed out to us,
I suppose it's if you get a story that's specifically set for one gender or another, that gender will see things that the other gender won't or what have you.
Yeah.
Because we all have our... The buzzword of the Gen Z that they were having a go at. We all have our triggers. And it's, what impacts you, affects you more, you will see possibly before someone who has the luxury of not having that impact their life.
That's it. Yeah, we've all learnt a thing. We'll probably be more in tune for that sort of thing in the future.
I will try to be.
Yeah.
So, I think on this occasion, given the story, we really just need to say, bubble off. And it's au revoir.
Goodbye.
We all know interspecies romance is weird.
You have been listening to the Staggering Stories podcast, series 1, number 447, featuring Adam J. Purcell, Gene Ridler and Keith Dunn. The views expressed here are those of the speaker and don't necessarily represent those of the other speakers or the site. No copyright infringement is intended, and this is an El Presidente production for www.staggeringstories.net.
Hello, good evening, welcome, wibbly bop, 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 bop.
I'm still dying of impetigo. Well, actually, no, I'm not dying of impetigo, but I just can't shake. It's bloody cold! I think it's turned into hay fever. And you mentioned something, Keith.
I did.
Keep it in mind. I thought I had short-term memory loss. But I have to admit, I do wish they weren't releasing them two at a time, though. It's a short season, and we're going from...
We're only the first two were released together.
Yeah, and then the last two.
No, the last two are a week apart, so...
Oh, right.
They're being shown together.
They're being shown together. Ah. But, yeah, you would have seen the penultimate one nearly a week earlier. Yeah.
Oh, right.
By the time they screen it.
I was misreading. I've run out of juice.
Oh, no. Has it gone?
It went, you are down to 3%.
Gets recharged when you're working, does it?
Yeah.
Works.
Yeah, just make Coke all over my face.
Ew!
And by that I mean Coca-Cola. It's getting hot in here, guys. I don't think I've seen a trailer for the next one.
There was a trailer on the end.
There was a trailer.
There was.
I saw the first second or two of it before I turned it off.
I can't remember.
They're coming really quickly, these.
Yeah, I can't remember.
Yeah, no, I remember. Yeah, I know which one it is. I'll tell you which one.
In the car on the way back.
I know it's sort of Bridgerton, isn't it?
That's it. Yes, Bridgerton.
I don't really know much about what Bridgerton is, but it's that sort of...
I've not watched Bridgerton, but I know upstairs, downstairs, Doctor in the Fireplace.
So many people out there are now screaming no.
We're halfway through, aren't we? If that was the fourth.
Is that fourth or was that the fifth?
That was the fifth.
Yeah.
We had two. Left. Yeah, because we had babies, pianos, mines,
Cliff face,
and bassists.
We've now got Regency and then the two-parter.